Please turn with me again then in your Bibles, this time to the New Testament and to the Gospel of John. And you'll find this reading on page 907 of the Church Bibles. John chapter 20, and we're going to read just two verses, verses 30 and 31 at the end of the chapter. John chapter 20, beginning to read at verse 30. And again, it's page number 907. So then let us hear the word of God. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Amen. So reads the word of God. And please do keep your Bibles open before you. Recently released BBC drama, King Charles III, proved to be very controversial. And that, of course, is rather fitting in all sorts of ways, because over the years, the views of Prince Charles himself have sparked controversy. His religious views are a case in point. For example, he has expressed the desire to be known in future not as defender of the faith, in the singular, but as defender of the faiths, in the plural. Remains, of course, to be seen whether any future coronation service will reflect this. One poignant moment of previous coronations down through the centuries has been the moderator of the Church of Scotland's handing of a Bible. Not a Quran, not the Vedas, the handing of a Bible to the sovereign, the newly crowned king or queen, with the words, "This book is the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." I don't know what future coronation services will hold. I don't know if the Bible alone will be presented on those future occasions. That all remains to be seen. But one thing is for sure. The traditional words are true. Christians down through the centuries have treasured the Bible as the unique and very special and very precious word of God. Translators of the King James Version were among them. In 1611, they wrote these words: "God's sacred word is that inestimable treasure that excelleth all the riches of the earth." But why? That's the question I want to ask you this morning. Why did God write the Bible? I use that phrasing because while there were indeed many human authors, he is the one great author, the one who superintended their writing, driving them along by his Spirit as a ship is driven along by the wind, full sail. Why did God write the Bible? What was his purpose? Indeed, what is his purpose? For God continues to speak today through the word once written. Why did God write the Bible? Well, the Apostle John's words in the text that we read a few moments ago, in chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, give us the answer. He is, of course, referring primarily to his gospel, but his words in these two verses apply generally to the whole Bible. Look with me at verse 30. For John writes, Jesus performed many other signs. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Indeed, if you turn over to page 908, the very end of the Gospel of John, you'll see that he says in verse 25 of chapter 21, "Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. And were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." But he writes in verse 31 of our chapter, chapter 20, back over the page, "These signs, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Here is John's reason for writing his gospel. Further, here is God's purpose for writing the Bible. I have 2 points this morning. Here is the first. God wrote the Bible to persuade you to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me again at verse 31. "But these are written that you may believe and go on believing," that is the sense of the word, "that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God." God wrote the Bible to tell us about Jesus. God wrote the Bible to tell us about Jesus. Jesus is the hero in these pages. Every page, every story in this book whispers his name. God wrote the Bible to tell us about Jesus. He wrote to tell us that Jesus is the Christ, the long-expected Messiah, the Savior King he promised in the pages of the Old Testament. He wrote to tell us that Jesus is his Son, his Spirit-anointed Son. He wrote to tell us that he is the I Am, the living and true God of the covenant, the very same one who appeared to Moses at the burning bush. He wrote to tell us that Jesus is the bread of life, the light of the world, the gate for the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way and the truth and the life, and the true vine. God wrote the Bible to tell us about Jesus. More than that, he wrote the Bible to persuade us to embrace him, to receive him. For that is what to believe really means. This fuller meaning of believing is borne out again and again throughout the Gospel of John. See, God wrote not just to impart information, but to inspire trust. He wrote not just to tell us what we should believe concerning Jesus in himself. No, he wrote to persuade us what we are to believe concerning Jesus for us. John's words in chapter 1, verse 12. Are so instructive here. He equates believing with receiving, with embracing. He writes, "Yet to all who did receive him," to those who believed in his name, you can see the parallel. He gave the right to become children of God. To believe isn't merely to assent up in your mind. To believe is to embrace. God wants us to embrace and to go on embracing his Son by faith. God wrote the Bible to persuade you to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. One man who did this over a millennium ago, in the year 386, was Augustine. Augustine had turned his back on the faith of his mother, Monica, a lady who prayed for him persistently. He had taken a mistress and fathered a child by her. Augustine had not embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. But one day, in late summer of the year 386, while sitting in a garden in Milan, in northern Italy, he heard a child saying in a kind of sing-song voice, "Tole lege, tole lege," Latin for "take it and read it." Take it and read it. And Augustine took it and read it. Took up a Bible, turned to a random page, and read the words of Romans 13, verses 13 and 14. "Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling, jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Upon reading those words, Augustine believed in the truest and fullest sense that Jesus really is the Christ, the Son of God. He was persuaded to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. He was persuaded, as God intended, to embrace his Son. Let me ask you this question this morning. Have you embraced him? Are you embracing him? God wrote the Bible with an express purpose in mind. It wasn't pointless. It wasn't purposeless. The living God of heaven and earth wrote the Bible for a purpose, and it concerns you. It was to persuade you to embrace his Son. You need him today, for you are a sinner. Whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever your pedigree, whatever your occupation, whatever your intelligence, whatever your income, you need him today, for you are a sinner. You have dishonored God's name and disobeyed God's law time and time and time again. And you stand in need today of a Savior who will rescue you from the wrath you deserve. And I'm telling you today as a herald, as an ambassador, Jesus is that Savior. Jesus is that rescuer. And you are invited. More than that, you are commanded today to embrace him by faith, to receive and to rest upon him alone for salvation, as he is freely offered to you in the gospel. The great God of heaven and earth, the one against whom you have sinned and offended, lovingly and graciously and mercifully wrote the Bible to persuade you to embrace and to go on embracing his Son, the Lord Jesus. Won't you respond today and embrace him by faith? That is our first point. Here is our second. God wrote the Bible to persuade you to embrace and enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. Look again with me at verse 31. And you'll see that the Apostle John writes, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." Friends, there is life in Jesus' name. He came that we may have life and have it to the full. He came to draw us with him into the arms of his Father. For as he himself said, John 17, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." He came to satisfy our souls, to resurrect our bodies, to give us a hope and a future. There is life in Jesus' name, eternal life in Jesus' name. And God wants us to enjoy this life. In the famous words of chapter 3, verse 16 of this gospel, perhaps the most famous words in all of the Bible, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. God included this verse in the Bible. Indeed, he included every verse in the Bible because he wants us to enjoy life in Jesus' name. God wrote the Bible to persuade you to embrace and enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. One man who came to enjoy him was Martin Luther. This self-flagellating 16th century monk came to understand 500 years ago to this year that God had not sent his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Luther came to see that while the wages of sin is death, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And upon grasping this truth, or rather upon being grasped by it, Luther said this, "I felt that I was altogether born again and had entered paradise itself through open gates." Luther drank in the wonder of the truth that God wrote the Bible to persuade you to embrace and enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the question for you today. Have you been persuaded? Is Jesus today your treasure? He is freely offered to you this very moment, this very second in the gospel. We believe that when the word is read and preached, it is his voice that is being heard. And he is being offered to you today, freely offered to you today in the gospel. If you're not yet a believer, let me say this to you in all tenderness. It is a mercy that you're here today. It's a mercy that you have breath in your lungs to be here today. For who knows when you're going to die? Before this very day is out, you could be dead. It is a mercy that you are here today. God is speaking to you in his kindness, in his mercy, in his grace. See to it that you do not refuse him. See to it that you do not resist him. Forsake the world and embrace this incomparable treasure, this Savior that promises that whoever believes his word and the one who sent him has eternal life and will not be judged, but has passed from death to life. Embrace him and you will enjoy him. It is God's pleasure, as it is God's command, that you should do so. And if you are a believer, invite other people to join you. Take your cue from the Apostle John, and under God, persuade, using the words of the Bible, persuade, prayerfully persuade your family and friends, your colleagues and neighbors, to embrace and enjoy the one they need above all others. These things, John tells us, are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. How precious is this book? How valuable, how wonderful. Be persuaded. to embrace and to enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ, for this is the reason why God wrote the Bible. Receive Him today. Believe Him today. Embrace Him today. And come to say with ever-intensifying, ever-increasing thankfulness and happiness, I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Shall we pray together? Our Father in heaven, thank you for writing the Bible. Thank you for writing this precious book to persuade us to embrace and enjoy your Son as He is freely offered to us in the gospel. Father, may the Spirit of truth lead us all to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, so that by believing we may have life, eternal life, in His name. And it is for your glory that we pray. Amen.